good evening. I'm recite some words that Brother Bob Wilson did the other evening. My heart's about to jump out of my chest this evening, so y'all pray for us. I'm Brother Butch Cole from the Neosho congregation, and like everyone else, I've been thoroughly enjoying the meeting this year. It's truly a blessing to see God's people gather around and to feel the Spirit of the Lord being poured out and blessing our souls, challenging us and encouraging us, and it's been wonderful. So I desire your prayers tonight. Again, I'll write the title on the board. So I've written on the board, enjoying God's abundance. And, you know, it could actually be titled differently, but I chose to use this because this gives something positive and encouraging to look forward to. You could put a subtitle of living below our privileges, all right? But yet to look at it this way and to focus on the greatness and the vastness and the power of God and enjoying God's abundance, that is something we can get a hold of. That is something that draws us to the Lord. That is something that's inspiring, is it not? To be able to enjoy the abundance of God. So before I get into this, I would like to define the word abundance. Abundance is simply ample quantity, or it could be great plentifulness, or a massive wealth, all right? It's an abundance. It's like, it's never ending. There's just a limitless supply, so to speak. And when you consider God and everything that He has, His power, His authority, the storehouse of heaven, truly it is an abundance, all right? But the key is, are we tapping into that? Are we willing to seek the Lord for that? Are we willing to invite the Lord to and invite ourselves into His presence so that we can experience His abundance tonight? So I want to tell a little story, and perhaps you all have heard this story before, and there's different variations of it. So it's a story told of a gentleman several decades ago, probably the early to mid-1900s. And he was from over in Europe, and he decided to take a cruise on a cruise ship over to America. And but before he took the trip, he had to save up a lot of money to purchase the tickets. And he barely had enough to buy the tickets. And then he realized he needed to pack some extra supplies. So he went out and bought a suitcase of cheese and crackers to eat and to help sustain him. So as he's on this cruise, several days into it, it took over a week to get across. Towards the end of the cruise, there were the last couple of days, he was noticing as he was walking down the hallways, he could smell the awesome food from the buffet. And from the banquet, drifting down the hallways, and he would hear all the people talking about the wonderful food, and oh, it was so good, and they just really enjoyed it. But yet, he's like, I can't afford that. You know, I barely had enough money just to buy the ticket to go on this cruise. So he'd go back to his little room and enjoy his cheese and crackers. Well, towards the very end of the trip, about the last day, someone noticed that they kept meeting him in the hallway as he's going back to his room, and everyone else is going the other direction, enjoying this amazing food, and someone stopped and asked him, like, sir, why do you keep going back to your room? He's like, well, I'm hungry, and I'm going to eat some food that I brought and eat my cheese and crackers. And they said, sir, did you not realize that when you bought these tickets for this cruise, this limitless buffet was included? A warm, hot meal, every meal was included in that. And he's like, really? So the conclusion of that was, is he wasn't enjoying the abundance of food. He shortchanged himself. You could say he was living below his privilege there, that he had purchased this and it was available to him for free, an abundance of that. That you just go and enjoy yourself and eat to your heart's content. Come back the next meal, come back the next day, and just enjoy that the whole time. But rather, he would go back to his room and enjoy cheese and crackers. Can you imagine every meal for 7 or 8 days straight? That's pretty boring. But truly, he shortchanged himself in that. He wasn't living to the abundance that was available. Well, I want to read some scriptures to shift gears here for a little bit. I want to talk about the story of Legion in Mark, the 5th chapter. And there's several verses here. I'm just going to skip through. I'm not going to read all the scriptures here. But in Mark 5, I want to read just a little bit. Mark 5 and 1. We'll start with verse 1. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You know, that's a pretty pitiful place to be in. And I want to just stop and consider here for a moment. I am convinced that this man wasn't born in those tombs in that condition. I'm convinced of that tonight. I'm convinced that he maybe grew up a typical little child, maybe even a teenager. We don't know his age, and that's not really important. But it was in a process of time that these unclean spirits of Satan overpowered him, okay, and got him to a place where he was living in tombs. Think about that for a little bit. It's basically just a little cave cut out back in this day, and living in the tombs. That's where they put dead people, all right? And think about this. It's as if he had no family that was there with him, and they would try to control him and put chains and to bind him and to try to control, and he was uncontrollable. He was a wild man. And to think that at one point earlier in his life, it doesn't say here, we're just reading between the lines, taking the liberty here, but at one point in his life, he was at home enjoying family, all right? He was enjoying the abundance of having family around him. Just think of that. He wasn't lonely. He wasn't starving or hungry. He wasn't being abused and having to can you imagine, and getting sick or all those different things? There was no one around, and he was just bouncing around between these tombs, and he was a reject, basically, of society. And to think, it didn't have to be that way, okay? So, let me continue on. Notice what happens. First of all, remember it said, up here it says, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. It says immediately. So it's as if he saw someone, and I believe it was Jesus, and he recognized there's someone here. And then later, verse 6, it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Oh, thank the Lord. He recognized a higher power. Even the spirits, the evil spirits within him, recognized this higher power. But there was something that was motivating him. He's like, I've got to get back to something. I'm tired of living this life, all right? And I don't know what to do. No one else knows what to do with it. But there was something when Jesus came on the scene, it drew him to him. Isn't that wonderful? I am so thankful that we have the Spirit of God in this meeting we've been enjoying. You know what? I'm confident. I've felt it myself, and we've heard testimony where we've felt the Spirit of the Lord drawing us and calling after us to an abundant life with Him, all right? To an abundance that maybe we've been shortchanging ourselves. And to think about this man living in these tombs, well, let's continue reading here. Let's see what happens. And he worshipped him, verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Think of the tormenting he had already had up to this point, all right? And yet he's meeting Jesus here, and these spirits are crying out, basically they wanted to remain in their position there of authority in Legion's life, all right? But notice what happens here. And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" This is what Jesus said. And he answered, the man answered, he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Let's just consider this for a little bit. That name Legion, why did he say Legion? You know, if you consider the time era that they lived in, you know, the Roman army, a legion of a Roman army was anywhere between 5,000 and 6,000 men, soldiers. Think about that. Now, I'm not trying to imply that he was filled with 5,000 or 6,000 evil spirits. But the point is, it was many, all right? And it was more than he could handle himself. He was literally being beaten to death. With all the sores, can you imagine him trying to break off all these chains and everything? Just a wild man, and I just can't imagine the sores and the bruising and everything that he was having to endure. But just think of this. He didn't have to be that way. But yet, that's where he found himself. And I don't know the history, the background, what got him to this point. But we know the end of the story, okay? That's what matters, right? So, let's read on here. Well, you know the rest of the story here. I'm just going to paraphrase what happened. Basically, Jesus cast the devils out of him. And remember, they came out of him and they jumped in the swine, the pigs. And then they jumped off the cliff and they died, all right? So just to think of the power that was at hand there that Satan was using there. And it was enough power to destroy thousands of pigs here, all right? Jump off the cliff. Well, then to consider verse 15. And they came unto Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So after all this took place, Legion was now sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. So they're looking at this going, how did this happen? Folks, it's because Jesus came on the scene, all right? He came to bring him something in abundance that he didn't have before. And before this, he was living below his privileges of what he was used to doing years prior to this. And again, we don't know how long it was. It just says for a long time. But prior to this, he was living with his family and enjoying family. And then Satan overtook him with these spirits. And so he's living this life, basically, you can put it this way, he's eating crumbs of cheese and crackers. All right, you understand my point here? He's just barely surviving. Literally, barely surviving. And yet Jesus comes on the scene and saying, "Oh, Legion, I have something greater for you. I have an abundance in store for you." And the rest of the story, you remember what happened? He told him to go back home and tell your friends about this. So what I love about this is he left a different man that day. At one point, he was consumed with all these evil spirits. He was legion. He was desperate. He was out of control. He was a wild man. Everything in his life, it seemed, was taken from him. All right? But he left a totally different man where he was clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Oh, thank the Lord that that's the power of God, of God's wonderful abundance of power. Now, I want to take this opportunity real quick. I want to draw a little diagram on the board. And if we could sing verses 1 and 3 of number 232 while I do this, please.
And beside the waters, crystal pure and still, yea, to overflow, he my cup doth fill. Jesus is my shepherd. He supplies my needs. In the shining pathway, tenderly he leads. Good influence and shelters in his peaceful fold. From the many dangers, from the storm and cold, he will ever bless me, all my needs supply. Yea, with richest favors he will satisfy. In a shining mansion fitted up for me, I will live with Jesus through eternity. Jesus is my shepherd, he supplies my needs. In the shining pathway tenderly he leads. He protects and shelters in his peaceful fold. From the many dangers, from the storm and cold.
Thank you. So I have drawn on the board here a little representation, and I'm going to label something here just to bring the point out a little further. So down here we have, this was Legion, down here in, I'm going to call it the Tomb of Despair, all right? And up here we have a Mansion of Abundance. So thinking of, again, the story of Legion, he had spent, it says, a long time. We don't know how long it is. But he had spent a long time down here, and he has a sad face, by the way, in case you can't tell that, down here in the Tomb of Despair. Folks, he was alone. Think of that. And how many times have we found ourselves in life? And folks, this message is to the sinners and saints alike. Because there's times, even as those of us that are saved, even sanctified, we can get into some personal, close positions in our life where we're like, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I feel like I'm in a corner here. I feel like I'm all alone, like no one understands, and I can't get out of this. Lord, would you give me something, all right? In other words, I need something in abundance from you, all right? I feel like I'm living below my privileges down in this tomb of despair, and I don't want to stay down there. Or maybe you are someone that is battling, that is living in sin. And they're tired of living in sin. They're tired of the shackles. They're tired of, again, feeling cold and dark and lonely down in this tomb of despair. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't have to stay there. The key is, all you have to do is run to Jesus, just like Legion did. He ran to Jesus. He recognized a higher power, one that has an abundance for us, all right? And again, so thinking of this story and the song we just got through singing, talking about the Good Shepherd. So I want to shift gears here just for a little bit. And I want to read some scriptures in John, the 10th chapter. Again, I desire your prayers here. Lord, help us get this out. In John, the 10th chapter, just to lay a little groundwork, this is Jesus speaking about him being the Good Shepherd. And that's why we sang that song about Jesus is my shepherd. Jesus is speaking to the people here and trying to get across to them what his plan was for them. They didn't understand. Even his own disciples didn't understand what he was doing most of the time. But I want to pick up and read here in verse 7. And what we have here is Jesus, he's speaking about some of the elites of the Jews, the priests and the Pharisees and the different ones that have been taking advantage of God's own people. All right, they've been ravaging them. In other words, they were putting them in their own chains of doctrines of men, their own beliefs, taking the old law and taking it so literal to extent of bringing pain and suffering to the Jews. All right, put them in a place where they couldn't have contact with God themselves. And there was something about they would require them to give extra money and to do all these things and to lift themselves up in a higher position. And Jesus is saying, that's not what this is about, all right? And basically, I'm going to turn and start reading here in verse 7. It says, Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now here's the key verse I want to get to tonight. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But that's not the end of it, folks. The rest of that verse, I want you to get a hold of this. This is part of enjoying God's abundance, all right? Notice what it says. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. So it's one thing to have life, but he said, no, it goes on beyond that. And that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Thank the Lord, all right? So that's why Jesus came. He wanted to give the Jews not just freedom from the Romans, because they were suffering from being in bondage to the Romans as well. And they were tired of that. So if he could say, just deliver them from the Romans, that would just be life, all right? In other words, they wouldn't have to pay the taxes anymore. That would just be everyday life, living everyday life, all right? But Jesus is saying, I want to deliver you more than just from paying taxes to the Rome, all right? I want to deliver you from yourself, from Satan, from sin. That was the purpose of Jesus coming, all right? So, and to give you an abundant life where you have victory on the inside. It's not going to be the carnal man fighting against another carnal man. He's like, what did he tell Peter and others? Put away your sword, all right? He's saying this is of a spiritual nature, okay? But considering this, in verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Thank the Lord. So I want to focus on this just a little bit. You know, sometimes, let's just be honest with ourselves tonight. Sometimes we live, I'm so thankful to live in America, in the USA. But you know, sometimes in life, there are difficult things we have to deal with. And sometimes it feels like we're the Jews living under the thumb of the Roman Empire. You understand what I'm saying? Taxes, does that ring a bell? And there's other things. And it looks like sometimes that those in authority, no matter who they are, at the federal level, the national level, all the way down to the state and local level, to the county level, to the city level, it seems like sometimes they are our enemies. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just speaking frank here. Those of us that have been paying taxes for a while, it can feel like, yeah, they're just out to get me. All right? But folks, let's take this for what the Word says. The Scripture says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. All right? Jesus wants to deliver us more from more than just the taxes we're being taxed with here in America. Just like the Jews. He's like, I can free you from their bondage. But Jesus is saying, you can still be in spiritual bondage living in this cave, this tomb of despair. Just like Legion. And live the rest of your life, a miserable life, living, not experiencing the abundance of God and living below your privileges. Jesus is saying, I have come, here we are, here I am offering myself to you, giving you something you never had before, and I want to give you peace in your hearts. Not just physical peace amongst the Romans versus the Jews, okay? So, think of this. Remember when the children of Israel were led out of Egypt? God's plan was not for them to be in bondage again. Let me say that again. When God chose Moses to lead them out of Egypt, the children of Israel, God's original plan was for them never to be in bondage again. Never to be in that tomb of despair again. Because when they were under the rule of Egypt, it was the same thing as when fast forward several years here, when they're under the rule of the Roman Empire. That wasn't God's plan originally either. But when they left Egypt, their plan was not to go into bondage again. But sadly,
what happened? Did they go into bondage just like two or three more times? I've lost track. And perhaps that's a good homework lesson for us all, to study how many times the children of Israel, even when it was divided, the nation was divided, all the way up until the time when Jesus came, how many times they went back into bondage over and over and over and over again. Is that living an abundant life? No, it's not. But the children of Israel, for too many years, were content to eat their cheese and crackers. And the Lord is saying, I have a mansion prepared up here in a spiritual sense. Yes, we know there's a mansion for us in the heavenly sense when the end of time is here. But in a spiritual sense, we can reign as kings and priests now here on this earth and enjoy the fullness of heaven, a mansion of abundance from the storehouse of heaven. And a figuratively speaking, a spiritual buffet of the blessings of His Spirit year-round, 24/7. Between now and next monarch, God is wanting us to enjoy God's abundance, all right? And not be content with this tomb of despair that, oh, this is where I've lived for so long and now it's just kind of comfortable. Is it really comfortable when you start analyzing it? Why don't you start, and Lord help us, let's start asking ourselves some questions. Are there some areas in our lives that it seems like we've been like the children of Israel throughout the Old Testament? It's back and forth, bondage again. Got some deliverance here, and I'm just going to live a life for a while, and then I go back into bondage again. Live a life for a while, and I'm going back into bondage again. Folks, that's not living an abundant life. That's not living, that's living below your privileges, all right? When Jesus paid the price, and at the day of Pentecost, poured out the Holy Spirit. You know, speaking of the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost, didn't you feel that Monday night? It was just as the brother was finishing up the message, here comes the rain and the storm. And you know what else, you know what's interesting? Those of you that maybe aren't aware of this, do you realize that was localized just in this little immediate area? That further in Neosho, they didn't get any rain. And east or north of here towards Granby, they didn't get any rain. It was just right here. It was as if the doors were closed and God's saying, okay, I'm just going to pour out my Spirit upon everyone. Oh, thank the Lord. We felt it, didn't we? That was something of abundance He was pouring out on us. It wasn't just the literal rain. It was the spiritual rain that He wanted us to get a hold of. He's like, I can give you more than just a cup of water. It can be overflowing, all right? Just like it was overflowing outside this tabernacle. He's saying, I can do the same thing in your life. That your life will be overflowing with His presence, with His power. Thank the Lord for that. An abundant life. Now I want to go on just a little further. I want to talk about these three words about the thief. You know who the thief was? You could look at it and say, well, it was the elites of the Jews. In the flesh, that was true. They were the thieves. They were stealing things, all right, from God's people. But who was behind that? It was Satan, okay? And then Jesus, you could say he was like a wolf. He still is, by the way. A wolf in sheep's clothing sometimes. But Jesus, being the good shepherd, has power and authority over this wolf. All right? Well, again, sometimes we can look around us and we can say, well, that's our enemy over there and that's our enemy over there. And sometimes they have faces. And sometimes those faces are people we are familiar with. And we can think, they are the enemy. That's the thief that has stolen my joy. Is it really? No, it's not. It's Satan working within us, all right, trying to keep us in this tomb of despair, okay? Keep us tied up and occupied with all these things down here in a dark, lonely place saying, woe is me, okay? When all along, we're just eating a feast of cheese and crackers. Yuck. You know, I don't mind a little bit of cheese and crackers, but after a meal of that, I'm done. Oh, the Lord has so much more for us, folks. So I want to be a little more specific here about the steal and the kill and destroy. You know what Satan desires to do He wants to steal your opportunities to live for the Lord. He wants to steal your opportunities. I'm going to speak to the young people a little bit here and the children. Satan wants to steal these golden opportunities when you're young and your mind and heart is pliable before the Lord. And you've not been contaminated with all the extra worldly influences out there. You're young and tender before the Lord. But the devil wants to come in and destroy some opportunities, to steal those opportunities from you. And it goes beyond that. He wants to steal our time. You know, that's for all of us. Not just the young, it's for all of us. He wants to steal our time. He wants to steal our innocence. Oh Lord, have mercy. He wants to steal our joy. Think about that. He would rather us live down here in this tomb of despair with this sad face, and that's where we stay. He's content with that. I just keep him bouncing around down there in that tomb. Just leave him there. Just like Legion, just leave him there. Oh, but thank the Lord, Jesus came on the scene. The devil wants to steal our peace. Oh, believe me, there's some things that can happen. How many times, let's just be honest with ourselves, you can receive a text or an email or a phone call from somebody and immediately, whoa, where's the peace? You know what I'm talking about? And Satan would love for us to stay in that mode down here in this tomb of despair. When what God would rather us do is to cast our burdens upon Him. Say, Lord, I can't handle these type of messages, these type of phone calls, this type of bad news, whatever it is, it just throws me into a tailspin. So let's just give that to the Lord, okay? Let's run to Jesus, a higher power, one that can handle that, because we can't handle it on our own, can we? So what are some things that Satan wants to kill? He wants to kill our hope. You remember in the allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian found himself in the tomb of despair? Or the what was it? The castle of despair, okay. But the point was, giant despair, okay, that's who it was, came. But it was as if he had no hope. The big door was swung and boom, it was locked. There's no way he could get out. You know, Satan loves for us to feel like it is hopeless. That we've been struggling with whatever, you fill in the blank. We've been struggling with something for so long, like Legion, it was a long time. Whatever time slot it is, and we're down here, and giant despair is walking around, clunking around, and we're tremoring in a corner down in this tomb of despair, castle of despair, saying there's no hope. Satan wants to kill our hope. Because we've been here so long, you know what, I'll just stay. Lord, have mercy. You know, Satan also wants to kill our momentum. Think about that. In this meeting, our spiritual momentum, Lord, help us. Then we leave these grounds, then we take Monarch with us. Not just in the literal sense, but we take the spirit of Monarch, which comes from the Spirit of God. You understand what I'm saying? His spirit that we have felt here, that we take that home with us and we say, Lord, I want to enjoy your abundance. I want to feast at your table, not just every Sunday or every other Wednesday, but every day I want to feast at your table, the abundant supply you have spread, and not just nibble on cheese and crackers the rest of the year. Lord, help us. You know another thing Satan wants to do? He wants to kill your dreams. You know, there's some healthy, motivating, positive dreams we can have in life. For instance, you know, it's a wholesome thing to dream of getting married someday and having your own children. God designed it that way, folks. How do you think we all got here today? You realize God created the family plan in a wholesome, holy way to enjoy our families and then to enjoy one another? Satan wants to steal that dream of ever having a family of your own someday. But I'm here to tell you, that if you find yourself in that tomb of despair in that regard, we can run to Jesus like in all these other issues. Say, Jesus, I don't know what to do here. I've struggled with this for years. Lord, I need your help here. I need some peace here. I need some contentment, whatever it is. That's just one. There's many other examples, okay? But there's other things. He wants to kill our wholesome desires and motives, so on and so forth, such as to grow in the Lord, to work for the Lord, whatever it may be. Satan, as soon as you leave Monarch, he wants to kill that. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, that's living down here in the tomb of despair. That's not living up here in the mansion of abundance, okay? And let's just talk about that a little bit. In this mansion of abundance, I just drew a quick little diagram of a house, a tree, and a smiling sun. But you know, within that house, that mansion that God has for us, you know what He gives us? He gives us protection. He gives us shelter, a shelter we can run to. And it's built upon a rock. It's a high and holy place, just like Mount Zion. It's like a rock, okay? And it's going to stand all the tests of life. But we can enjoy the fullness of God, the abundance that He has, all the spiritual food, the communion, the relationship with God, the companionship, where it's a big family of God enjoying the abundance of God in this mansion. Oh, thank the Lord we can have this in a spiritual sense right now. So here's some things thinking of destruction. Satan wants to destroy. You know what he wants to do? He wants to destroy our future. Think about that. You know there are sins and activities that some people partake of that it ends up destroying their future, because they can either contract deadly or physically harming diseases, or being put in dangerous places where they get in accidents and it either injures them or handicaps them for life, or ultimately kills them. And it's all because of things and sins and different things they partake of. He wants to destroy our future, a hope of a future, all right, of living an enjoyable life. He wants to destroy good relationships, good, healthy relationships. And let me take this a little further. He wants to destroy relationships between companions, husbands and wives. Say, if you don't believe me, just start looking up the statistics in America. Some want to say that the divorce rate is dropping. But you know what part of that statistic is? Fewer people are getting married. So that problem is not solved. Satan is destroying some futures and some hope over we just don't get married. And then there's other alternatives to that instead of getting married. But all the while, he's destroying their future. He's destroying and killing their hope. He's destroying healthy relationships. Extended family. Whatever relationships, you fill in the blank. Our families, marriages, the list goes on. But you know, this was written over 2,000 years ago. You know, Satan is still active with all of these things today. And Satan pushing, driving, making us feel like there's no hope. We're still wandering around here in this tomb of despair. But I want to tell you something tonight. We have a good shepherd that we can run to. One that has the power and authority to cast out those devils that have gained territory in our lives where we're sick and tired of eating cheese and crackers every day. And God's saying, I have something more for you, child. I want to share just a quick personal experience. And I share this to... I'm going to make myself vulnerable here just for a little bit. But maybe someone can gain something from this. So I want to bring this down to a personal level. The scripture says in 2 Timothy, I'm not going to turn to it right now. But the scripture says in 2 Timothy 2 and 7, in fact, I think it was read this morning. And I've been feasting on this scripture for a long time. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, legion, that was one of the things Jesus gave him immediately, was a sound mind. He was clothed and sitting in his right mind. He was thinking straight, okay? There was hope in his life. You could see in his eyes. His eyes were lit up. There's hope. I don't have to keep eating cheese and crackers the rest of my life. I can go back home to my family and my friends, and I can tell the good news of the gospel that Jesus delivered me from this tomb of despair, okay? But I want to share this personal experience. Speaking of the spirit of fear, this is several years ago, the Lord revealed to me through a process of a series of events and circumstances, and revealed to me that I have been consumed with a particular spirit of fear. Now notice what that scripture says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Then who gave it to us? Yeah, Satan. Exactly. So, for myself, as a young man, I battled with the fear of not being enough. And maybe there's some here tonight that can relate to that. But I want to tell you something. It was for a long period of time, and it had hold of me. I felt like in that area of my life, I was down in this little tomb of despair. Struggled with it for years. I didn't realize what it was until, like I said, through a process of time and through events and circumstances, God started revealing to me why. I'm like, why do I always feel this way? Like, I'm never enough. It was as if like, I couldn't, it was a fear of that if I tried to do something well, I couldn't do it well enough because someone else could always do it better, or I would just mess it up, or that's just me, you know, and I, you know, whatever I touch, it just kind of falls apart. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, I never feel like I'm enough. But you know, the Lord revealed to me where some of that was coming from, and it came from a variety of things. But when the Lord revealed to me where that was coming from, and I was open to Him, because through this process, do you know what I was doing? I was running to Jesus because I was tired of being beat up in this hopeless tomb of despair. I was living below my privileges because it was hindering me in my walk with the Lord. It was hindering my family. And Satan was starting to kill and to steal and to destroy some things within my heart and my life. No, I didn't backslide. I didn't leave the Lord, but I realized there was a hindrance there. And when I started running to Jesus, saying, Lord, what is this? Help me with this. He started revealing to me, and you know, it was actually kind of simple. And it wasn't like anything profound. But folks, it was something that I dare say a lot of folks have experienced here tonight. Part of it was, at the age of 11, I lost my father. And I felt very vulnerable. And so what happened was throughout school and on my jobs, dealing with some bosses, some teachers, some instructors, so on and so forth, it's like I had this feeling that I wasn't enough. But what it stemmed from was an insecurity that I was feeling within myself. And what I was doing was focusing on my inadequacies. But when the Lord started revealing some things to me, and here's what happened. I got into some situations where it's like the Lord peeled back the curtain and let me see, exposed where other people in my life were dealing with some of the very exact things I was dealing with. And I don't know how to explain this. It was as if the Lord said, you're not alone. Understand my point? Most of all, the Lord was there, the good shepherd. But beyond that, he's saying, it was as if the Lord, and within myself, it was like, oh, I'm not just such a weirdo then. Because other people are dealing with very similar things that I was. And it wasn't until some other people were vulnerable as well, and they started revealing some of the very same things I was dealing with. And I don't know how to tell you folks, but it changed my life forever. Because along with that, it was like Jesus gave me a healing balm and said, "Son, I'll be your father. Son, I'll calm your fears. Son, I will speak to you. I will give you courage. I will give you confidence in the areas that you feel so inadequate in." And you know, it was through those years that the story of Gideon became so real to me. Because so many times I felt like Gideon. Gideon was hiding from the enemy. Down in an area, it wasn't maybe in a tomb, but he was in a pit there, threshing the wheat because he was afraid. And who came and visited him? The Lord paid him a visit and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon's like, "Who are you talking to? That's not me." Oh, dear ones, you may not feel like you're worth anything tonight, but I want to tell you something. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He is the good shepherd. He's the one to give us an abundant life, to deliver us from whatever fears you're dealing with tonight. And when the Lord started revealing those things to me and gave me the courage to face these things with the new light, realizing I'm not just so weird and different and awkward. Actually, other people have other things that they deal with. I'm not alone in this. And like Gideon, you know what the Lord told him? He told him to get up. "I got a job for you to do." And you guys know the story of Gideon. But Gideon was scared. He still was dealing with some fear. The Lord told him to go up and defeat the Midianites, all right? And we've heard about it earlier in this meeting. Got a huge army together. But in the process of this, come the night of the battle, or just prior to the battle, Gideon was scared, folks. He was nervous. He'd never been in this situation before. Have you ever had times like that? Where you've never been in a situation like, "I've never been here before. What do I do?" Gideon found himself in that position. But you know, prior to all this, he's asking for a fleece. You've heard that saying. On one hand, he asked for the wake up in the morning, the fleece to be dry and the ground wet, and the other morning, vice versa. And whichever one came first. But the point is, the Lord, if he could use this word, humored him over that. He didn't reprimand him over that because he knew his faith needed to be bolstered. He knew he was dealing with fear. Oh, folks, that's what's so awesome about this wonderful good shepherd we're dealing with. He knows exactly what you're dealing with tonight. And he speaks to those needs. And he'll administer mercy and help in those times we feel are coming up short. He's saying, "Child, I'm going to help you in this, all right?" And so it's as if he put some training wheels, all right, on this little bicycle that Gideon was having to deal with. And he allowed him to put two training wheels on there and answered his prayer with those fleeces. And then after that, you know what he was able to do? He was able to defeat the Midianites. But I want us to get a hold of something that the Lord told him. When he told him to get up and go face the Midianites, he said, "Go in this thy might. Have not I sent you?" Oh, dear ones, if you find yourself in a position and in a situation, you're like, "I don't have the strength to do this. I don't have the understanding. I've been bouncing around in this tomb of despair for so long, I don't even know what the daylight is like." You understand what I'm saying? You've been in this cloud, this dark dungeon for so long, and I'm so lonely, and I'm so bruised and cut up from all these shackles and chains I've been having to deal with for years, for a long time. Oh, but thank the Lord, he can speak to our needs exactly where we are at. And he told Gideon, "Go in this, that, not..." It wasn't your own might, Gideon. It was the fact that, "Have not I sent you?" In other words, it's in the might of the Lord. He's calling us out saying, "You don't have to stay down there, all right? You can come up to the mansion of abundance." And even though Gideon only had 300 men, and he faced the multitude of the Midianites, there was a great victory there that day. It was in the strength of the Lord. It was in him calling. It was in Gideon obeying the voice of the Lord. It was to Gideon running to the Lord, running to his arms, saying, Lord, I need you. I can't do this. And the Lord saying, I got you. It'll be okay. Go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee? Oh, thank the Lord. But speaking again of my personal experience, there was something about that that it changed my life forever. When I got a vision in this scripture, when the Lord gave me this scripture, it was like it just clicked another level. It's like, absolutely. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's of the devil. It's like sometimes he wants us to be fearful to even get out of the tomb of despair because, oh, what if I fall back into it? Or what if something chases me down? Oh, dear ones, we keep running to Jesus. We keep running to this mansion of abundance, of God's abundance. He's saying, child, I got you. I'm going to keep Satan at bay here. You just come to me. Oh, thank the Lord. We have that privilege here tonight. So tonight, we'll ask the question one last time. Are you content with the cheese and crackers? Maybe even some crumbs? The Lord is calling you tonight, saying, why don't you come enjoy this buffet that's plentiful in abundance? It's never ending. The power of God is so mighty. It can deliver you from whatever fear you're dealing with tonight. It can deliver you from whatever sin you're dealing with, from whatever habit you're dealing with, that you feel like I've bounced around here for a long time and there's no way out. Oh, yes, there is. We recognize a higher power of the Good Shepherd. When Jesus came on the scene in behalf of Legion, Legion's life was changed forever. Thank the Lord. And tonight, the call is your life can be changed forever as well. God can put a holy fire within you and a desire that you want to forever stay in this mansion of abundance here, where you can enjoy the fullness of God, the fullness of His Spirit, the fullness of His power, His companionship, whatever it is you need have need of tonight. God is standing here saying, child, once you come, just run to me, just like Legion did. Oh, thank the Lord. We have this opportunity tonight. So if you have a need in your heart, why don't you come and run to Jesus? You pray for me.